From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Deborah, and yes, you're listening to Mind Health Matters with the Dr. Bernie Siegel. This is a Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio, Boston. And Bernie's show is heard here every first Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And then you can go on our own station, Dream Visions, the number 7, radio.com, and you can hear Bernie's show Wednesday through Friday every week, 12 noon and 12 a.m. Eastern Time. And you can contact Bernie right on his site, which is Bernie Siegel. It's SIEGELMD.com. All one word, BernieSiegelMD.com. So, good day, Bernie.
Howdy do.
Yes, and so you would like to speak today about your experiences. Your wife, Bobby, ended up going to the hospital in emergency, and yet she is good now.
Right.
But you have some personal things, and as everyone knows, we'll just weave and let it flow, and all your stories are amazing.
Yeah. What you learn from. But one of the things, because I wrote something about this that we'll get into, but I like to, when I write, often start by asking people questions.
And then yes, and if you could speak up, Bernie.
Okay, it's,
there
you know,
you
when
are.
I write, this has to do with writing about, for a local newspaper, these experiences I've had, you know, with deaths of support group members and my wife being rushed to the hospital and that type of thing. But I like to start out with some questions, and then at the end of the column, answer what the question is, or finish the sentence.
Yes.
So here's some, and they're from Henny Youngman. When relatives are glad a man has died, they say, more people commit suicide with than with a gun. I want to die with my boots on. The last lap of a joyride is usually made in a, and people have to fill in. And this is what Henny Youngman said. When relatives are glad a man has died, they say he's better off. More people commit suicide with a fork than with a gun. I wanted to die with my boots on. I've got a hole in my socks. And the last lap of a joyride is usually made in a hearse.
Mm.
That last one's an interesting one. But, yeah, I mean, all these things happening together, the death of, you know, and I may say the people in the support group become like family because you're meeting week after week and you're going through all the pain and the difficulties. And I try to do as much for the survivors as you do for the people confronting the illness. You know, how do we manage and how do we get along? And I have a book here called We Don't Die, but to me the definition of we is our consciousness. So as an aside, the family members, I have told them that I have mystic friends who can communicate with the dead, and if they want a message to just get in touch with her because that, you know, helps them realize there really still is some connection, even though you don't have the person with skin on anymore. They're there. But let me get back also to what happened the other day. It's about 10 days ago. My wife has a long history of MS, and she's always tired in the morning, but, you know, I get her to exercise before we go and have breakfast and so forth. But she was saying, I'm tired. I'm really tired today. I don't think I can do this. And yet we did some. And then as we were headed for the kitchen, she really said, I can't make it. So I said, wait. And we have an old wheelchair in the kitchen. I ran and got it and let her sit down in it. And then she just left. I mean, she just fell back eyes wide open, staring off into space. I know they're not seeing anything. And I really thought, you know, hey, she's gone. And that lasted maybe 30 seconds. And then I could see the consciousness and the presence coming back. But yes, I pushed the lifeline button, you know, she has, and the emergency room came. To make a long story short, from the physical side, she was having a arrhythmia of her heart, meaning rapid, irregular beats. So the brain and other parts of the body for a little bit weren't getting any blood. And then as the heart came back, so to speak, even though it was irregular, at least something was functioning, and they were able to convert it back to a normal rhythm in the emergency room with some medication. But when I stood there, you might say for those 30 seconds, it was incredibly meaningful. I don't even think you can put it into words. It's like your whole life is there. You know, when they say my whole life flashed in front of me, I mean, it is there in front of me. And it was just an incredible moment. Yeah. And yet, what I felt later was it was a great teacher, you know, about life. And again, about what is meaningful and what is important, you know, because that's followed by the snowstorm, and you can focus on that. Or if the life of a loved one was almost lost the day before, the snow doesn't seem so significant anymore. Or,
right.
You know, the fact that the road isn't open, fine, it isn't open. But, yeah, but I have to say this. Yes, I called the town to say, hey, what if my wife had another emergency? How the hell are we going to get out of here? Oh, we'll call the fire department. But I have no idea how they would have gotten in if something happened, you know,
right.
Because we're on a dead end, and we're, like, last on the list of roads to plow. But, you know, I said, you see, the good part that comes out of it, I left a message for our first selectman saying, you need to have the names of people and the streets that they're on, you know, who have potential medical emergencies or other problems where they may need immediate help, and do those streets first.
Right.
So, you know, it isn't just about how long it takes, but of protecting the people who are living on those streets and taking care of them. But again,
right.
You know, getting to the emergency room, I was sharing this with somebody the other night, that I got back to being myself again, you know, with a sense of humor, because our grandson, who has genetic problems and had all kinds of complications I won't go into, but requiring a lot of surgery and really life-threatening stuff, and he'll probably be there for several more months in the hospital. But I said in the emergency room, my grandson's in the hospital, my wife's in the hospital, can we get a family discount? You know,
yeah.
And again, you say, where does that come from? I don't know. You know, it's a kid in me, says crazy things like that, and it makes people feel closer to you, as crazy as that may sound.
Right.
You know, that you're not there complaining and mad and angry.
And it soothes you as well, too.
Yeah, I know I'm getting back to normal when I act like that crazy kid again. You know, or people in the hospital who knew me from years ago, we were practicing surgery there. You know, it makes you human again, and things are improving. Yeah, even the American College of Surgeons, which drove me crazy for years, I don't mean they did, but like policies. See, I will deal with my patients as I would wish to be dealt with if I were in the patient's position. I said, what kind of pledge is that? Why doesn't it say I will care for my patients? And they let me write an article probably 20 or more years ago about caring for people, not dealing with them. Now they're having courses in humanitarian surgery.
Mm.
And those who have trained as surgeons who are interested can go and work with other physicians and learn about practicing medicine and being a humanitarian, not just a surgeon. I mean, it can be going overseas and taking care of people or just here in the United States. But it's so happy. I am so happy to see these things happen, even though they're decades, you know, late in the sense of when they should have been done.
Right.
We really need to care for people and care for each other. But, you know, when you realize, as I'm always saying to people, we're all mortal. Yeah, there was a person in our support group last night was saying, this friend of hers, some guy, is always lecturing her and lecturing her, and, you know, what you should eat, what you should do, and what you should do. I said, look, ask him, is he going to die someday? Because the answer is yes. You know, you can eat all the vegetables, do all the, and you're still going to die. And he's driving this family crazy, telling them what to do. Instead of listening to the person with the illness, he's dictating. You know, he doesn't listen to himself, if you know what I mean. I mean, yeah, because the husband was saying, he called one day and starts talking. He said, I just put the phone down and went and did, you know, 10 other things in the house. I come back, he's still talking. You know, he doesn't even know the other person is gone. See, that's not, you know, a dialogue. That's not a conversation. He's just dictating. But
right.
As I say, if he listened to himself, he'd realize, hey, I got to stop this. This is no good.
And yeah, that's issue that many people don't listen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the listening is where the help comes from.
Mm.
I mean, number one, you learn who you are by listening. This is from a doctor. See, this is interesting. Well, I mean, she's not a doctor, a PhD, but into health. And she was telling me all the tests I should do for my wife and different things. And I'm saying, hey, you know, you're driving us nuts. And she wrote this, there's always a beginning for each of us. For me, it was my 2-year-old son having a stroke. He recovered completely with therapy. And then at 17, he had a series of strokes, and I was told there was nothing that could be done. Again, he was a vegetable. He recovered with lipid therapy. That's something that she's gotten into.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it is as you taught us, fill yourself with love for others and miracles happen. I just direct that love towards a cellular and biochemical level to pull forward the specific answers to help an individual person. Now, because I had emailed her earlier, I like you, because she won't quit, in a sense, driving me nuts, you know, and doing all the right things and, you know, and what she wants to do. But you see, when she's had the experience, when she shared that, because I had sent her a note saying, I like you. You know, even though she's driving me crazy, what tests I should do and what, you know, what meals I should make. And because she said, you know, have the cook. I said, I'm the cook, you know, that I'm the one that has to do everything you're saying. I mean, it could even be how to make a healthy muffin, if you know what I mean. I mean, she's incredible. But I said, I like you, you know, because my sense was I said, you have a heart, you know. And,
right.
And that she's coming from a place where she's trying to help. And then, you see, when she puts in that she's a native, meaning, you know, what happened to her son, then you understand why she's like that. Because she's been there. I mean, she's not just given a sermon like this guy does to the woman in our support group and drives her out of her mind with all, you know, his ranting and raving and what she's supposed to do. But this woman is listening to me, too, and is wounded and knows what I'm going through and what I can handle. So her comments are really, I'm just trying to help you, you know, not sell something or tell you I'm right and you're wrong or whatever.
Right.
But I think that those moments... and unfortunately, I think most of the time they have to be difficult moments, really wake you up to what the hell is important about all this. And, you know, the important stuff is just the day-to-day relationships and meaning and everything else.
Right, gratitude for your life and
right.
for the simple things. A lot of people don't take a moment and actually thank the higher, the universe, for the life that they're living. They take it for granted.
Yeah, or we get angry about it. That's something
we'll
talk about in a minute. But one of the things I was thinking, because I wanted to share, on our bathroom mirror, you know, big mirror over the sink, I have used Bobby's lipstick and...
Can you just raise your voice?
Yep, I'm sorry. I get into a trance when I talk about my wife.
Yes. I know. You're Mara. I heard that.
But on the mirror in the bathroom, I wrote with her lipstick, you know, and I never erase it. So there's a happy birthday, happy anniversary, you know, happy Valentine's Day, happy Mother's Day. And then there's one that said, I love you so much, it is beyond understanding. And that's something that I just really wanted to bring up to discuss, because I meant it. I mean, I don't understand why I feel this love for her, you know, for another person. And the feeling just often overwhelms me to just feel that way and wonder, you know, where does that come from? But I think that I don't have an answer, okay? Yeah, we could talk about chemistry and brains and what happens and everything else, but still, to me, it's still beyond comprehension that we can have this kind of change in our body and feel something and just feel a relationship and a connection with another living thing and be so tied to it. You know, what it reminds me of, almost crazy as it may sound, how all these stories you read about, you know, a house catches fire and the mama cat goes into the fire and brings out six little kittens and she is being burned while she's doing it. Mm. I mean, what makes her do that? You know, why take a chance? Why go into the fire? But there's something. You know, that's the part that's beyond meaning.
You're based in love for you, Bernie. You're based in love, and so because of that, you feel more than someone that isn't connected in their love. Mm. And you love yourself. And I believe that if we have a hard time loving ourselves, we don't have as strong a connection to another human being.
Yes. Yeah, I think if you don't love yourself, and it's not being selfish, that's just an acceptance and love of the self, then you can go beyond yourself and love others. Because in many ways, it's a continuation of self-love to love other people. I mean, that we are all one, and you realize that kind of connection. And then when you become one, that's when, in a sense, it overwhelms you because you just feel it for everyone.
Right.
Yeah. I was, I don't know where it came up. I guess I was reading something last night. I had a dream many years ago. And in the dream, somebody came up to me and said, your name is Satchitananda. And when I woke up, I didn't know what it meant or what he was talking about. And there was an Indian resident at the hospital. So I said to him, what does that mean? And it basically means being, consciousness, and bliss. Mm. And some of the listeners may have heard that term, Satchitananda, because all the, you know, the gurus become Anandas with various names, and some are Satchitananda. But I thought, where does that come from? And, you know, again, I think it comes from your consciousness, your unconscious, the supreme, you know, state of being, that something comes to you, a message to you, to be that person and to live that kind of life. You know, it's a connection with spirit and faith and love. And one of the things I've always struggled with that I am finally beginning to understand, because, again, I came across this sentence, you know, something I'm always asking people is, why would God make a world like this? You know, with all the troubles and all the things that go wrong, like the woman I just read about, your three-year-old has a stroke. I mean, why make a world where that happens to three-year-olds? And the answer in this article was that God wanted to experience life. So God created us in order to have that experience. And I thought that was an interesting answer, because I'm often saying, why didn't God make a perfect world? And the answer is, a perfect world is not creation. It's a magic trick. And literally, we'd all be bored out of our minds if we had a perfect world. But I think it's also to experience. And that when you understand that, you realize you are loved. It's not about God punishing or rejecting you or doing terrible things or punishing. We are all a part of God, and we're here to live the experience and know that God loves us and have faith in that love. And, you know, as I've read these things and keep working at it, it helps me find more peace.
I have a question for you, Bernie, and I think we only have a couple more minutes before break, and we can pick it up when we come back, but how do you feel? Do you feel the human actually chooses the lessons that they come and learn here on Earth?
It, to some extent, yes. But again, the way I put it is, it's not you and I coming back again saying, oh boy, we screwed up last time, let's go back and fix it. I think it is our consciousness that continues to exist. So the people who come after us come with the knowledge of what we experienced. And, you know, after the break, we can come back and discuss that. But you can come into this life with an experience that then affects and changes how you behave here.
Okay, let's pick up that. All right, everyone, we'll be back in a moment more with Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude and Love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, Daily Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Saturday at 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Tune in every second Saturday at 3 p.m. for Maximum Success, the Coach Bruce Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Deborah, and you're listening to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. This is a show, Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. And for anyone that would like to order Bernie's books and items that, and would like to save money on that, and who doesn't want to save, when you go on his son and daughter-in-law's site, which is wisdomoftheages.biz, again, wisdomoftheages.biz, when ordering, place code 27 in the comment box, and you'll receive an email stating that you saved 15%. So again, it's code 27 in the comment box during the checkout, and you'll save the 15% automatically. And one more time, it's Bernie's son, Keith, and Jane, daughter-in-law, Siegel, and it's wisdomoftheages.biz. So Bernie, just before the break, you were saying, sharing what your thoughts were, and they were quite profound. So go continue, please.
Yeah, I mean, because of personal experience, I'm not going to go into detail, but I went into a trance when a friend said over the phone, why are you living this life? Now, her comment related to how busy I was lecturing and traveling and doing things. And I said, you know, I'm tired. And she said, why are you living this life? She wanted me to just slow down. But I went into a trance and visualized a past life. Now, I say that in the sense that I have that experience, but I really don't think that I was that person, if you know what I mean, but that I am aware of that person's experience, that the word I love is impregnate, that that person's experience, that consciousness impregnated my brain, and so I have that memory. And yes, I think that then leads me to be a different person in this life, and that could be for better or worse, depending on how you relate to it. But if I have done a lot of harm in a past life, then having that knowledge may make me able to understand why I have been who I am in this life, meaning this, that if I'm always rescuing everything, become a doctor, have a house full of creatures, always trying to fix everything, I may suddenly begin to understand you're trying to make up, in a sense, for the past, what you realized was wrong in the past, that you didn't have faith in the past, you did a lot of harm, did things for the wrong reasons, and now you're trying to do them for the right reasons and be much more loving and caring. And even like that dream I mentioned, being called Satchitananda, that suddenly you're this other person. But I think you are this other person because of an awareness of a past life experience. Okay? Mm. And so and truthfully, I say to people, look, you could think it's crazy, doesn't make any sense, can't be. I don't care what you think of it, but if it helps you live a healthier life, that's what's important. So if you want to have a, you know, regression therapy and have a past life therapy, fine, go ahead. Because if it helps you know yourself, then you will live a better life now and do more good. And
right.
So I think delving into all these things makes sense.
But, and it lifts a lot of the experience that the items that we actually experience in this life. Once you know how you feel about it, you can release it, and you don't have to carry all of the stuff year after year. You can become lighter by acknowledging the things that have happened.
Yeah, and so it is no longer what a lot of people carry, the guilt, blame, and shame. You know, why am I doing this? Why do I act this way?
Sure.
Why am I, you know, so crazy about certain things? You suddenly have a better understanding of yourself. Mm. And then it becomes healthier activity, and you become a better example for other people in terms of how you're living your life and what you're doing.
And then that guilt can take another level, where if you fill yourself up with so much guilt, it can actually make your body ill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then again, see, that may be a way people end up learning ultimately through the affliction. But it's a lot healthier if you can learn through your state of consciousness and not have to have an illness to wake you up to the wisdom, you know, and say, oh, this is a gift, this is a blessing, this is a wake-up call. You can wake up by reading. And that's why, you know, before I go to bed every night, as well as at times during the day, but I sit and read the wisdom of the great philosophers. Mm. Matter of fact, there's one, William James, I mean, I'm always, you know, folding pages and marking, but I don't remember his exact words, but he said that you really don't truly become yourself until you have confronted your mortality. And that when you then turn from, it's like turning from suicide and saying, no, I'm not going to choose death. I'm going to choose life. That you truly become the complete person. And, you know, the way he said it and what he said meant a lot to me, because I think that's very true. And I think I've mentioned it maybe on this program previously, but sitting with all the self-help gurus at a weekend conference, everybody at the table said that they had considered suicide and talked about it. And I was the only person at the table who hadn't ever considered suicide. And they said to me, we know you're not normal. And I had to laugh at that. But I think I realized that what affected me were other painful experiences, you know, like killing others, other living things, and not thinking about killing myself, but dealing with it from that perspective. While for them, the experience had always been considering the end of your life and then turning and saying, no, I'm going to choose life, and then going on from there. And what they then had learned and what they had to share with others. Because my first feeling when they started talking that way was, then what the hell are you doing getting up on a stage telling people, you know, about living when you've been suicidal? But when they were done, I understood what they were saying was they made the other decision to choose life. And now they were sharing that decision with the audience. And how to do that, and how to turn and make that decision. And it's sad, but for so many of us, it is a real choice. You know, you look even in the paper now with the suicide rate in Army veterans and soldiers and with high school
students. And young ones.
Yeah.
There's someone that we know just 22 years old, and and that's what happened. They left the earth in that way.
Yeah.
And so, do you feel that one has to experience adversity in order to wake up and become conscious?
No, I think if you're lucky, you don't have to. And I don't know if the word lucky is appropriate, but what I mean is that if you had people in your life, you see, who've already had that. Like for me, it was my parents. So I was constantly hearing what I call survivor messages and mottos, you know, to live your life by. And so I grew up with that. And they weren't angry or bitter or resentful about what had happened to them, but they said they had learned from it, you know, loss of parent, poverty, all kinds of things, but that they had learned from it. And I think that was the key. For me, you know, to grow up with that understanding and feeling loved by them so I could look at life's events in a different way than most other kids and adults. As I grew up, I realized they didn't see the world the way I saw it. And it had a lot to do with how they were programmed by the authority figures in their life. And I don't mean just parents. I mean, you know, it's all the meaningful people you meet along the way. School teachers, clergy, you know, your boss at work, whatever it is, the different attitudes people have towards the world and how that can really become hypnotic to you and in some cases therapeutic and in some very destructive in terms of how you're dealing with and coping with the world.
Yeah. Speaking of schools, how do you feel about teaching love and even everyone, all the kids meditating for a certain while within schools? And incorporating that in every school across the nation.
Yeah, I think it would be wonderful.
Yeah.
You see, my comment, what's your answer to this? Or maybe you know from listening to me for so long, but what would you hang in the lobby of every school with a sign over it that says, look at how beautiful and meaningful life is?
Yeah, a mirror.
Yeah. I mean, you know, think about that. If every kid walked in, you know, different races, religions, clothing, yeah, whatever, you know, you may have old clothes on, dirty, and some other kid is all dressed up, but everybody in front of that mirror says, look at how beautiful and meaningful life is, and you're looking at yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's the message that we could put into school. And yes, with meditation, with a whole host of exercises too, you know, so we get to know each other as human beings.
Right. Even standing in a circle holding hands brings the humanness in all of us.
Yeah.
We can feel that next person's pulsating in their hand.
Yeah, I like to show a picture of people's insides and just say, hey, we're all the same color inside.
Yeah, I love that, Bernie. Yeah. All right, we need to take a break. Everyone, we'll be back in a moment.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Saturday at 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings in the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join CPA, personal financial specialist Jane Honick, and psychologist Amy Wood on Your Money and Your Life on the fourth Saturday of every month at 3 p.m. and create a new life with money, because it's not about the numbers. It's about your state of mind. Jane and Amy will help you master the beliefs that drive not only your financial life, but all the areas of your life that matter. With new awareness and a positive attitude, you'll be on your way to creating a life of greater prosperity. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
The Massachusetts Soldiers Legacy Fund, MSLF, was founded in 2004 with a simple goal: to provide educational assistance grants to the children of Massachusetts service members who were killed while deployed on operations enduring and Iraqi freedom.
With its current resources, the MSLF guarantees a minimum of $40,000, $10,000 per annum in educational funding to each child of a fallen service member whose home of record at the Department of Defense was Massachusetts. There's no selection process. If an individual is a child of a service member whose service is credited to Massachusetts and whom gave his or her life in Operation Enduring or Iraqi Freedom, that child qualifies for MSLF funds. We're proud to report that we're accomplishing our founding objective thanks to the support of individuals and organizations throughout the United States. To donate, go to mslfund.org.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Dr. Bernie Siegel and his show, Mind Health Matters. Bernie, I have another question. We were talking about meditating in schools and and teaching the kids love. But then there are many parents, it's been said that parents have been upset about teaching meditation, and they equate that to religion, but it really isn't.
No.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I agree with that, too, that meditation of itself is, you know, it's not about religion per se, but of, I'd say, tapping into that greater awareness, that universal wisdom that is out there. See, that's part of why I was saying I read about the philosophers and so forth. Their messages are the same. The religion can cause a problem when people make it literal, you know, look at this word, this is what God said, this is what it means. And I think those are people who feel insecure. I like to use it, religion, as a guidebook, so to speak, to learn from it. How to behave, what do I do, and not be afraid to say, I wonder what that means.
Right.
But, you know, but when somebody says, look, this is what it means, you're going to go to hell, no, I can't accept that. I don't think God is, you know, that kind of person or creator or problem, and I don't mean God really as a person. I don't see God that way. See, I see God as the love, the intelligence, the consciousness, the energy. In other words, God incorporates everything that was needed to create a world. See?
Right.
If God were a person, you wouldn't need any other, or you need one or two, so you have relationships. You know, you don't want to be the only one. But to me, as I say, it's a broader context, and that religion really causes us trouble by how we interpret it. But
right.
If we all sat down and looked at religion and that we have the same God, we'd all be better off. And fewer people, you know, population-wise, are getting involved in religion now. But I think if religion became related to how do you live, what's the meaning of life, how do you survive, how do you find peace, do you feel loved, do you have faith, it would be very different. Here's something I was going to mention before you brought this up. A rabbi said the book of Genesis consists of 12 sections. And I, in this paragraph I was writing, I said numbers always fascinate me. Because even think about that, 12 disciples, you know, 12 sections in the book of Genesis. Why do we sell eggs by the dozen? You know what I mean? Dozens.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all these numbers mean something at a more significant level.
Mm.
But he said he had translated the 12-word version into the human story. And think of these 12 words, what they mean to you, and going through in order. Purpose, tranquility, journey, vision, invigoration, production, excursion, delegation, integration, end, and union. And, you know, what that would mean to each person. I'm not going to get into all 12 of them. But I think those are the key things that come up. And I have to, you see, here is again, I get back, as I told you, to humor. Because I wrote, let me close with a story of predestination I experienced.
Okay.
Before approaching the battlefield, our pastor gave us a sermon about predestination. He said to not worry about the future. If we were predestined to be killed by a bullet, then the bullet would find us no matter where we were. And if we were to be spared, no bullet would find us. In the heat of battle, we saw the pastor run and hide behind a large tree. We asked why he was seeking shelter after telling us about predestination. He said, "You do not fully understand the principles and theories of predestination. I was predestined to run behind this tree." You know, and I said, I think our politicians agree with the pastor, you know, but that's why it can get so crazy how people interpret it. And
right.
Even as I said, yes, I write, you know, columns and articles, and some people get very mad at me because of my interpretation of something, whereas that's not what they were taught. And, oh, boy. See, if they have a dialogue with me, we learn from each other.
Right.
But when they don't want a dialogue, they just want to tell me, I'm wrong, you know, and this is what you're doing, and you don't understand, then you never get anywhere. Then the best thing is to say, I love you, and let it go at that.
Right.
See, let me get a moment. Let me read you three poems I put in something, an article also that I wrote years ago.
Okay.
The other day, I introduced my right hand to my body. When I say poems, they don't rhyme. It's just what comes out of me. The other day, I introduced my right hand to my body. I thought they ought to know each other better. People said, that's crazy. They already know each other. They're all part of the same thing, come from the same thing, made of the same thing. They don't need an introduction. I was thinking, when I get to heaven, they ask me if I want to be introduced to God. I'll say, that's crazy. We already know each other. We're all part of the same thing, come from the same thing. And that's what people really need to accept about themselves. And then the couple related to death. I die a little each day. One dies many times in a lifetime before the liberating death. The many deaths are the events which plunge us into darkness, a difficult time and journey until we enter the rebirth canal and climb back into the light to be born again. It gets harder to do the larger our ego gets and the more we accumulate. But each death brings an opportunity for our rebirth if we have the courage. Dying is easy. Living can be difficult and painful. One day there will be a gift for us all, death. Until then, I will keep crawling to the light each time I die. I never thought of it, but it really was what William James said, you know, turning. And then last, the great teacher. Death, what a great teacher you are. Yet few of us elect to take your class and learn about life. That is the essence of death's teaching. Death is not an elective. We must all take the class. The wise students audit the class in their early years and find enlightenment. They are prepared when graduation day comes. It is your commencement. Because that's something that I'm always saying to kids. I said, what do you call your graduation? A commencement. I said, why? You're finished. Why don't they say, come to my termination? And really, several kids have said to me, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Because it woke them up to the fact that, you know, life is about beginnings. Yes, you're finishing school, you're out in the world, but it's a commencement. And instead of being afraid, they saw it in a different way. Or
right.
Wanting to end their life, they saw it, no, it's a new beginning.
Right. It's really seeing hope instead of resonating with fear, seeing the hope and the love.
Yeah.
And choosing that.
Yeah. But again, it's, I know it's taken me a lot of years to feel that faith and love and realize that when people are telling me God loves you and everything's fine, and I keep saying, wait a minute, God, you know, doesn't have this disease, doesn't have this problem. How does God, you know, so God's full of love and faith and now everything's wonderful. I said, let God come and put skin on. But I'm changing, if you understand what I mean. I realize that
you're evolving.
Creator put the skin on us for us to have the experience, and that the love is there, but it's the nature of life, and that you got to accept it.
Right. And really, we're all evolving from the time we're born.
Yeah. Yeah, it never stops. That's why the word journey is a big part, you know, and I mentioned, I think, those 12 words, one of them was journey, and that we're all on a journey.
Right.
My friend at hospice started calling me that years ago. I mean, somebody, you know, was calling me Bernie. And one day when I walked in, when he was like a day or two away from dying, he said, "Hey, Journey, hello."
Mm.
And I thought, wait a minute, my name is Bernie. But then I realized he was teaching me something.
Yeah.
I wrote a poem about that, too, because it is, you know, life is a journey.
But, well, we have about a minute. Do you want to share the poem?
Oh, I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, okay.
But I was just thinking that I began to think of the bloodstream. You know, if you think of life as a stream, you know, you're flowing back to the ocean of life. But you have to run into the rocks, the dams, you know, obstructions, diversions, all kinds of problems, droughts. But you keep going, and you can make it. And that nature teaches us that, too, because they always say that you don't hear a stream complaining about hitting rocks or the ocean banging against the shoreline. I mean, the sounds they make relax you. You know, when you talk about meditation, yeah, sit on the beach and just listen to the ocean. Close your eyes.
Mm.
That rhythm and that sound. So if we can learn from nature and flow with your bloodstream, you'll make it over the hurdles and the rocks and the difficulties, and you'll get to the ultimate sea of life where we all join hands again.
I love the way you explain that. It's a good analogy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so, what would you like to leave the listeners with today?
Well, the hard part is doing it. You know, I always say, life isn't unfair, but it sure is difficult. So be prepared for the difficulties and accept them. And don't think that it's worse for you than somebody else. I mean, it's up to the individual how they see that difficulty and that problem. That's why I felt that when my wife passed out, it was a hell of a teacher for me.
I bet.
And, you know, if we keep learning instead of resenting and fighting and being bitter and arguing and just accept life. It's difficult. Learn from the difficulties. Yeah, I call it labor pains.
That's good.
That if you see them as that, then you work on the rebirthing process. And they teach us, as I've said, I'm sure, over and over, that hunger leads you to nourish yourself. The pain can lead you to rebirth yourself.
Perfectly said. Well, that's all we have for today, everyone out there. Until the next time with Dr. Bernie Siegel, have a glorious day.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings in the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.